patience, love. We ask you, Lord, to be with us at this meeting. Let us share our opinions and our ideas, and let us be receptive to other opinions and ideas. We ask you, Lord, to be with us, keep us safe, continue to protect us from COVID, and help us who are waiting for the phone call to get a shot. We'll soon hear it. We ask you, Lord, for your continued blessings on our part. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll ask our Secretary Cheryl to take roll.
Jack Emmerich.
Here.
Carol Summers.
Here.
Cheryl Moore. Here. Keith Richard. Paul Goblick.
Here.
Keith is here?
He's on the...
Oh, he's on Zoom?
Yeah.
Sorry, Keith. You're here. Got it. James Zellner.
Here.
Beverly Elias.
Here.
Terry Steimer.
Here.
And Cherie Morris will be joining us as our district manager. Thank you.
I should point out that we do have an officer here, and he's in the back, Officer Stawicki. And we appreciate his presence.
Thank you.
I have a lot of stuff to sort out, so bear with me as I, what shall I say, weasel my way through all of these things. First of all, I'd like to address the residents to let them know what I did as follow-up to our raucous meeting. I waited until Thursday for Annette to have an opportunity to call me for an apology. It didn't come, so on Thursday around noon, I called her and said, I'd like to meet with you tomorrow. And I said, Karen Foote has offered let us speak to each other and have her as an observer. One of the key things I said to Annette was, you are famous for saying, we're all adults here. I said, I didn't see any adult behavior from you on Monday. I saw belligerence, I saw disrespect, I saw insolence, and I saw someone who was out of control. And I must say, before I even started with kind of an outline of what I wanted to get across to her, she apologized. And I said, I'm glad to hear that. And probably three more times during our course of a half an hour, she said she was sorry for what she was doing. And she went on to explain some reasons why she was maybe out of control. I told her if she shows up at meetings, I will take that as the sign that you are going to cooperate. I told her that we were seeking police presence, and I said, if necessary, you will be removed from the audience. And she said, I don't think that will happen. So much about that meeting. Have any questions about my talking with her? Okay. picked up Operation Clean Sweep. Part of the reason that I wanted to initiate this operation was because following the raucous meeting, I had a lot of conversations. And one of the things I heard was that there's favoritism. The rules aren't enforced the same for everybody. Our voice isn't heard. Nobody's listening. I said to several people, I think you need to take a look at, do you see the glass half full or half empty? What are you looking for? I've been in this position a long time, and I know there are people who just seem to have all the dirt about everything, and you wonder why. Are they looking for that? Are they anticipating that, or what? So, Operation Clean Sweep. Diane Bell put this together in a nice little format. We would like to encourage all residents to join in the effort to make things better. And what better place to start with than your own residence? Is everything up to deed restrictions? And without looking at them, don't say yes. I went back home and I said to Marlene, you know, we have our garbage cans on the carport. They're not allowed on the carport. How many will join me in moving garbage cans to someplace else? Okay?
Yeah.
Is your carport used for the descriptions in the deed restrictions, or do you keep things that shouldn't, that should be in the shed or the house? Or how many cars or vehicles do you have there, and how many are on the carport and how many are on the grass? Take a ride around the park and see how many ladders you can find leaning up against the houses. How about appliances? Somebody said to me, uh-oh, my neighbor has a washing machine out there. Uh-oh. Now, I think we're going to have to get an interpretation on this from somebody that said, if it's in a screened-in part of the carport, can you have a wash machine out there, or can't you? Because it's not really, is it the carport or not the carport? We'll need some answers. Okay. Diane makes note also about power wash or weed pulling. And then after you've taken a look at your place, you can take a look at the neighborhood. And we're not asking people to become vindictive and say, aha, I'm going to get her because she said something about what I had a violation. No, that's not the spirit of this at all. We're going to try to put into operation the adage, we're all adults here. Can we take to heart if someone says, you know, I don't think this is quite up to the rules and regulations. I hope this wouldn't sever your friendship with somebody trying to do something good for the park. So anyway, Operation Clean Sweep is going to run through March 31st. I asked Kathy to keep a watch on the supply of Clean Sweep, because if you have some elderly people in your court, neighborhood, and you want to take that for them, that's fine. I hope Diane is probably listening to me, that she will try to get this on 7:32. And I don't think we should have much trouble trying to get it on the marquee out front. Who knows who's changing the marquee now? Last I knew it was Maddie Manley. Is she still? She still is? Okay. Then I can talk to her about that. This, you can study for a little bit, and we'll bring it back up at the end of the agenda where we have public comment and trustee remarks, etc. Next, I would like to ask our secretary to read the letter of resignation from our treasurer. Assistant secretary. See, I say, pardon me, I got too many things rolling around here. Okay.
This is dated February 2nd, 2021, from Cynthia Bodo, Assistant Secretary, Board of Trustees. This is notification that I am resigning from my position on Board of Trustees effective immediately. I find it difficult to work with a manager that, in my opinion, lacks moral and ethical fortitude that we need in our district manager. I will not have my honesty, integrity, or character tarnished sitting on the Board of Trustees when some of those members have blatantly ignored their legal, moral, and ethical obligations and duties as a Board of Trustee member while misaligning their loyalty with an employee rather than the district's residents in this community. The recent manipulative and unprofessional actions of our district manager and a few of our board members are inexcusable. Most board members are protecting our district manager and her wrongdoings rather than protecting the residents they swore to serve and protect. Shame on you for not banding together, standing up for what is right and just. Instead, you sit silently knowing the truth, knowing right from wrong. A succession of various circumstances has made my position as trustee a hostile working environment that I will no longer subject myself to as long as this manager is employed with the park. Respectfully, Cynthia Bodo.
Resignation accepted. There is an item that we will take right before old business, and that will be election of a treasurer. And then under new business, I read that we had two letters from ACC, and then I was informed that Marty Peterson did not submit his to the ACC, who first has to approve and then send it on to the Board of Trustees. So we will only be dealing with Thomas Clark as an appointee to the ACC board. Okay? And that will happen under 10D. All right. I think we have to zoom in to get our treasurer. Anybody see Keith? Yep, there he is.
Are we going to do approval in a minute later?
Ooh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Approval of minutes. Looking for a motion for the January 19th, 2021 minutes.
I move that we accept the minutes as written.
Is there a second?
Second.
Jim?
Second.
I think.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Kind of give us your hand because I can't see lips moving or anything.
Yeah, we don't. I don't know whose voice
okay.
is who.
And I can't talk so well.
Okay. Any favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Then we have 125-2021. And these were the ones that were redone. And there was a revision on the top in the front so that you could tell. Do we have any questions about, or we have to have a motion?
I make a motion that we accept the minutes as written.
25th of January. Pardon me?
I apologize.
January 25th, 2021.
I make a motion that we accept the motion, or the minutes from January 25th, 2021 as written.
Any comments?
I'd just like to say, I think the word approve needs to be, I think we're missing a word on the December 14th approval of minutes section. Motion made by and seconded by Terry Steimer to approve with corrections, not to with corrections. It's just missing that word.
Okay.
So can we restate the motion with that correction, or does that?
Yes.
Okay. Do I do that?
No, I have to. I move that we approve the January 25th, 2021 minutes with the correction of the word approved added to what is written. You have to reset.
Second.
Thank you.
Okay. All in favor, raise your hand. Anybody catching Keith?
I was going to say, what's Keith doing out there? I forgot about you, Keith.
Well, I lost.
Stacy, is he still there?
Okay, if he reappears, we'll get him to sign in with his vote. Well, we better find him. Treasurer's report. Oh. Treasurer's report is only in the second meeting. I don't know why this crept up on the agenda. Okay. Now, at this point, I'd like to see if we can resolve a leftover, and this has to do with electing a treasurer. The last meeting, we didn't find anybody else who wanted to be assistant treasurer, or treasurer, I should say. So at this point, I would say I'm looking for a motion for nomination for treasurer. Couldn't hear you.
Who?
Jeez.
Any others? board members, all in favor, say, raise hand. Aye.
Aye.
Are we going to discuss it or not? I know we have no one else, but I think we need to make it clear. Are we good with that? Are we gonna accept going against what our bylaws say? I think I've been told I can't be heard good. Going against what our bylaws say in order to have a treasurer, or are we gonna force somebody else to do it who doesn't wanna do it? I just wanna say that out loud. You guys don't want Keith to be treasurer, is that what I'm looking at your heads. I think it needs a discussion.
Come up to the mics.
Hi, Bob Shearer, 382 Holiday Park. While there is a rule in there, there is also an exception to that rule that you are now going to, if nobody does it and it's unanimous, then you can replace that. So we're not going, you need to rephrase that, we're not going against our bylaws.
Okay.
We are just using one of the options that go with the bylaws.
Thank you.
Joanne?
Yeah. Joanne Gagan. Well, one thing, I take exception to the fact that you said nobody out there wants Keith Richard to be treasurer. That was never my understanding in any way, shape, or form. We were strictly reading the bylaws. And Cheryl is right in saying, get it out. You either want to bypass the bylaws, want to change them, revise them, but it is written there. And that's what they were going by. Not that anybody didn't want Keith Richard as treasurer. Simply that he wasn't eligible to be treasurer. And that's where it stands. Now you have to take it and you fly with it.
Okay. I didn't mean to insult anyone. I said it. No, Joanne, that is not true. I said it.
Okay.
So I did not mean to insult anyone. I saw at least four heads shake no when Terry mentioned him. At least. That's all I saw when I looked up after it was all over with. Bob is absolutely right. There is a statement in there about, I don't know if they can hear me on Zoom. I've been getting things that I can't be heard, but that there is a section in there for unanimous decision. And it was brought up at least two meetings ago, and that's when the first all hell broke loose. So I just wanted to get it out there that this is why we are doing what we're doing, and perhaps putting Keith in again as treasurer. I wanted to say it out loud to everyone, because people were so upset in the way it happened before. And I get it. So this is where we are right now. We have a nomination. I feel that we've discussed it, and now maybe we can take the vote. Thank you for letting me speak.
Bruce?
Oh, yes, Bruce.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. One of the problems we're having in this park is getting people to fill the seats on our board. It's really unfortunate that we've had the problems we've been having. Keith is doing a great job, number one. We have to groom some people to come up to accept these positions. We need assistant treasurers, we need assistant secretaries to step up and learn the procedures in this park. Believe me, it's very complicated. I've been in the office. I've worked with the treasurers. I know how I sit on the budget committee. I know how complicated it is. We have to get people to step up and take some of these jobs on and learn about them. And Keith right now definitely should be treasurer. You have the option to vote him in unanimously. Go ahead and do it.
All right. Call the vote. All in favor of electing Keith as our treasurer, raise your right hand. Okay. Much of old business is giving a chance to Cherie to update us on some of the issues that we dealt with in the last couple of weeks. Cherie, you just want to go to 9 and A, B, C, D, E, F, whatever, G and H?
I did some research a little bit more, and I contacted Flawless, our lawn company, and I got another bid for the mulching. So we had a quote of $2,940 from Florida Mulch. That would have included a $120 refundable pallet deposit, also a $150 delivery fee. I asked Flawless to give us a bid, and their bid was $2,000. And they will do the mulching of all the common areas. So I'm asking the board to reconsider and use Flawless instead of the Florida Mulch. And in the estimate, it says green spaces, clubhouse, entrance, mulch, red. Please note this is an estimate. If less is used, we will invoice for yardage used. If more is required, we will contact management for any additional approvals. So I think this is the way to go instead of having the bags delivered and lugging it all through the park. So I gave a copy of this to the trustees. That's what I have for the mulch.
Okay, let's take action right away instead of having to come back to it. Somebody.
If we have to make a do we have to make a motion? I mean, didn't we approve her to spend up to $2,940?
Yes.
Can we just leave? Because we didn't say a company name, because she was just going to go buy mulch.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted the trustees to be aware.
So I think that our original motion covers you to purchase this
perfect
mulch at a lesser amount. Is that right? Do you feel?
Yes.
I agree.
Okay, great.
Next.
We have a Zoom meeting scheduled with the City of Palm Bay. Terry and myself will be meeting with the town manager regarding the 9 escheated homes at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon. I'll have a full report on that. The attorney will also be present, as well as Palm Bay's attorney.
I don't know how to respond to some of those postings on Facebook, I think, in some instances. No, I can't say that. I thought it might have been somebody who had put in a bid earlier, but it wasn't. But there seems to be a little confusion as to where we stand, and the comment had to do, that's where it started from, with the exterminator made a visit to all of those 9 homes and was taking care of rat and other vermin infestation. And somebody wondered, well, now that the exterminator is there, does that mean something's gonna happen with these houses? And I bite my tongue because I don't even wanna say anything when we're dealing with Palm Bay, because they just drag their feet. There is so much red tape that it's just unbelievable trying to get something done.
Maybe I can shed some light on that, Jack.
Uh-huh.
The meeting tomorrow, the attorneys will both be there. We had sent a 30-day notice to cure the violations. Everyone is on board. We're ready to remove the homes. However, we have to have an owner signature on the application for the permits to the city. It's a catch-22. So obviously, they being the owners, are not going to sign. So we're going to give them an option to either sign the permits so that we can get these homes out of here, or we can start fining them every day for the violations. Also, the applications that when they do sell the homes are not going to be approved through the park, through the board, or through myself. The homes are derelict. They're going to be wrapped up for another several months if they have to file for a quiet title search, whereas if we remove them, we don't have to do that. All we have to do is obtain the permits, and the homes can be removed. So they really don't have much wiggle room. We're trying to play nice, and we're trying to be fair, but, you know, the whole intent and the whole purpose of this was to get the homes out of here. Another option is to just bypass Palm Bay completely and take these nine in front of a judge and get an injunction stating that the homes are detrimental to the health and welfare of all of the residents here due to the conditions of the home. Not only does it's affecting the value of your homes, and it's a health issue. So, you know, having said both of those things, they really don't have much wiggle room, but we'll find out tomorrow when this is presented to them through our attorney.
Okay. Next item is the Glasser violation. This is 244 Holiday with the underage residents.
Okay, we had the hearing, and the attorney drew up a letter. And what we will do is, once the board critiques it, and it's, we'll send it back to the attorney, and it's going to be filed with the clerk of courts. This way, if he does violate the agreement, we can retroactivate and start fining the violator $250 a day until the violation is corrected. So the board is going to give this back to me, and I'll send it to the attorney, and it will be filed with the clerk of courts. This way, it can be enforced.
Okay, I know the secretary has some critiquing to do here, so I'll ask Cheryl to talk to this issue.
Yeah, the only thing I was not here at that meeting, but I did try to listen in and or find out the stuff afterwards. The only thing I would like to be added, I think should be added, was you guys voted on, the board approved that Mr. Glasser should report in on a biweekly written notice as to what his progress is for removing unauthorized persons. So I would think on page 2 of this, number 2, during the 90-day period, owner shall provide, instead of a written status report, which is 1 in 90 days, it should state, provide biweekly written status reports regarding the efforts. That's the only thing I saw that I thought should be very clear, especially if it's going to the courts for enforcement purposes. Go real close to it, Terry.
Okay, I'll start from the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that because, considering the fact that he hasn't answered any request, it's my understanding since this issue came up. He was firm in the fact that he wasn't going to move at the time, and he didn't care what went on with this situation. So I'm thinking you're adding another issue with him to perform that I think he's going to ignore. So I think we should just go ahead with this in its present form and either deal with it on the back end by time frame.
No, it.
That's
the thing
my opinion.
Is, that's what the board voted on at his hearing was biweekly status reports. And I think because this is going to the court, we need to have that in there so that we have a leg to stand on. And you're right, he may not respond. And But if he doesn't do the biweekly reports, that's how we say we're done and the court does its work. We've done our work. This is for court purposes, not us.
Exactly.
So it's, I think it just needs to be very, very clear for the court.
Exactly.
And it doesn't hurt us to have Carl put in those words. It's just, I feel courts, I think it's important. You're right. You're probably right, Carrie. But for the court, they need to have exactly what we spelled out for him to do.
Any other discussion?
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. If I remember the motion that was made, it was a bi-weekly rewritten report. Now, maybe I'm 100% wrong, but that was...
No. The motion was made that there would be a bi-weekly report, with his first report coming out next Tuesday.
Yeah.
And if he failed to respond to any of the bi-weekly reports,
to be in writing.
They had to be in writing.
Absolutely.
And if he failed to provide one, then he would be in default of our agreement.
Yeah.
So I agree, it should be spelled out specifically in that letter to the court that it is required bi-weekly in writing.
Do we need to make a motion here to
alter? I don't believe so. It's just for clarification.
Just to
so.
Clarify? Okay.
Yeah.
It's just clarification in the letter.
Okay. I should say that of all days, I think I have this right, that our sound system didn't record. So we had a few reviews and looking over and over and over, did we get everything in finally that was said. So just that clarification. Is that sufficient? No? Okay. Moving on. Maintenance projects.
If you look around the building inside of here, we've taken down all of that conduit and removed all of the dead wires around the perimeter. We can't get back into the storage room because there's too many tables and it was dangerous. But it looks a lot better. It would look nice with crown molding, but we've tacked up the wires so it does look nice and neat, and we don't have the metal as you see over there. And what's going to happen over there, we can get rid of that, but we're going to have to raise it up and put another junction box. But it'll look nice and neat and very clean. And then we're going to paint. We're also going to paint the sidewalks in the back by the bocce courts, the overhangs, that whole area is going to pretty much get a facelift. We do have the drawings for the engineer drawings to start the bocce project. I'm trying to get them on a PDF so I can get it down to the company. I don't want to send this big roll, two rolls, so we're working on getting the PDF actually today. And we continually work on the pool, the caulking around the base of both pools. We haven't perfected that yet, so please excuse the mess for right now. But it's a work in progress. And of course, the mulch. We're going to be, Flawless is going to be, while it's dormant right now and they have more time, we're going to get the whole park, the green spaces, mulched. I might add as well, I've been in contact with Brian Bodo, and he's come up with some really good ideas for the entrance to the park. This is nothing to do with the construction. It has everything to do with safety. For our walkers, putting up some of those signs that, you know, go back and forth, so if you hit it, it won't destroy it. We hope that it won't be hit, but we're going to be painting and striping, and at a future meeting, we're going to discuss the possibility of purchasing a striping machine so that we can keep up with all of the striping on a regular basis. You know, the high traffic areas we can do every other month, if not more. The entrance to the park as well. But we'll bring that up at another meeting.
Any questions on that aspect of follow-up? If not, let's move on to bee tree removal.
Bee tree. The bee tree has been removed. There are no bees. All the stumps around the back pond area have been removed, have been ground down. Dave did a great job. To date, we have paid Dave $13,582. That does not include the $1,050 to remove the bee tree. He still has a few more days left of some miscellaneous trimming here and there, which he will do, and it is board approved.
So he hasn't gone over our his added days yet?
No.
That we, great.
Questions from audience? If not, let's move on to corrections in the About Us book.
Cheryl's been working with Stacy, and they've kind of pulled a lot of ideas together that several people had worked on, different committees. A lot of things haven't been approved by the board. We want to finalize it and get the board's approval so that we can get a good, solid copy to our future residents and also our residents if they need a new one. So I think Cheryl would be better first to discuss this.
Cheryl. I have a problem with the beginning of this About Us book. It's not clear to me, to be honest with you. I'm not sure where these items go in the present book. Is that what you're saying? Replace the items in the present book with?
Yes. To update the, there's a lot of typing errors is where it started from. So, do you have an About Us book? Maybe. But did you have your own prior to getting this?
No.
That's what
no.
you don't, okay.
No.
Oh. Cherie disappeared. Let's see if I brought mine.
I mean, you're not talking about going over everything, are you?
Pardon me?
You're not talking about going over everything right here today, are you?
Oh, no, we're not
okay.
going to, no, we'd
Good.
Be here for hours.
Yeah.
No, when I first moved in, my owner of the house that I bought from had given me her, it's called About Us, and it's all of these documents is in there. And what happened was, so that's probably why you're confused, because you didn't know where this started from. So we started proofreading it, and we were finding that between the books that people had not always been updated when the board makes changes at board meetings to the rules and regulations or to bylaws, if that had ever been done. I don't know. That takes a whole trustee. But what's the ones that we vote on?
Deed
restrictions. So things like that, when they got changed, either from a vote in the residence or here on the trustee board or the ACC rules, that kind of stuff, everybody's About Us book, 700 of them, doesn't get updated as it should. It was on a little plastic spine binding, so it really wasn't a great update. It wasn't easy to update anyways. So I just started reading it last summer after I got on the Board of Trustees and was finding a lot of typing errors. And then as we got further into it, we realized that what's on the webpage and what I had in my book and what was actually updated wasn't all jiving. So that's when Lori resigned. Stacy came on board. She picked it up and started rolling with it. We've met a couple times. And she had put this book together as a draft for all the forms that go in that About Us book. And this is telling us where she's found the typing errors and where she's going to make changes. That's what those first couple pages are. And then what I've done is I've gone through and marked, like, on the side where I found some things. So that's why I suggested every trustee read it and see if there's anything glaring that you would like updated. And we're going to let Stacy put it all together. God bless you, Stacy. Thank you. So we're going to get a new About Us book for all the residents that hopefully we will be able to update on a maybe once a year, or I don't know. We hadn't talked about that yet. How often would it be updated? Because like in here, it talks about waste management. Well, since last October, we've had Republic do our garbage. That's the kind of things that go into this book. So that's what this is.
So Bruce apparently is updating the books, right? Are you not updating the books?
Yep. Okay. Trustee
book. Yeah, trustee okay. book. That, all right. That big white one. Which is a lot of the same form documents, which is why I was reading the trustee book and what was on the webpage were two different things. So we needed to get, and that's where they decided we'd start with the About Us, because everybody needs to be on this the same page. So, yeah.
Thank you. That questions? Was moderately clear.
Pardon me?
The pages here, it looks like there's music signs on them. I don't know what they are.
Oh, okay. It tells you the paragraph. And then the line number in that paragraph is what that means.
Ah.
And then when you open that, what she's done is,
okay.
It is, it's very detailed. Stacy did a lot of work here. And so what it means is, what when you're proofing a document, this is coming from a clerical background, so that's why my focus was, driving me crazy. You cross out what you're taking out to be changed, and then the new that's going in is underlined so that you can differentiate what the new's going to be. So this is all draft form. So what she's going to do, if we approve all these changes as they're said, she will take the underline out, so it'll just be a regular sentence, regular typing with no underscore, and she will erase the thing that got the scratch through because we're taking it out. And then in the end, you will have one clean copy of a document that's just typed.
Gotcha.
So what we may do is have her do it with all the changes, and then we'll look through it one more time to make sure everything's there, and then we'll get it copied and sent out to everybody.
Beautiful.
Does that sound like a plan?
Sounds like it.
And then in the future, when we do have changes, we'll have it will be user-friendly. So what we can, if we have to take out a page, insert a page, we can do it without having to do the entire book. So we won't have this problem, hopefully, again. Yeah, we can just keep it updated all the time. Instead of things falling through the cracks, we'll do it later, or this wasn't approved. We'll stay on top of it so that it'll always be fresh and updated.
And what she did, just so you guys know, Terry, when you're reading through it, she had put in some old minutes, previous year's minutes. What that is the backup to what's getting added or taken out. Because when you change a whole, when it says omit this paragraph and put this one in, you go, why? Well, because at this board meeting, that's what was approved. So what has happened over since 2006, sometimes 17, it wasn't updated. So that's what we're in the process of doing, getting all those board minutes changes into all these different documents.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
Is it
I think it is because we've had documents. Some of them are dated 2018 and 19, 16, 17. We think it is. But I don't know. I've only been here 2 years.
Becky?
Becky?
Becky Ernest, 205 Burrell Circle.
I remember.
I would like to see some other people go through this as well as just this new board. You've got an awful lot of people back here that have been in the park for a long time as well as old trustees and so forth. I would like to see some of them go through that as well.
I asked that same thing.
Right. Hey, Becky. Are you volunteering, please?
Joanne.
Am I correct that when a new owner comes in, they had at one time been getting that book? Okay. Well, whether you did or not, what I would suggest is, because it's being revised, keep a list of new owners coming in. Do not give them the old book, but when that is reprinted, make sure you've got that list and that they do get that new book. And I did read the whole thing over, and it's all circled in red.
Okay.
I apologize. Who said they didn't get the they didn't get the book? I apologize for that. They're supposed to be given you a new book. A book is to be given to every new owner, every new non-owner resident. So it was an oversight on the office. I'll take responsibility for it. But
I think if you came into the park about the same time I did, and the office was in transition and whatever, we didn't get anything in the way of handouts. You know, so I know we should have, could have, would have, but we didn't. So, I mean, anybody who came in that 2017 span probably got treated the same way without getting that kind of information. Just sharing that. Okay.
I think what we need to do, Bob Shear, 382 Holiday Park, is we need to put some of this onus back onto the realtors that sell in here, that if you want to sell within the park, you're required to come down. I don't know if you want to call it a test, but you cannot sell in this park unless you absolutely know our rules and regulations and hand that kind of stuff out. So there's a way that we could require any realtor who's going to sign in here, so I'm selling here, before they can sell a property, they come to the park, and they're given every rule. And if we find out a homeowner, such as this lady, moves in, and she didn't get anything, okay, then we can say, you didn't fit the requirements of our park. I'm not trying to limit them, but what I'm trying to do is make sure the people, and it goes back to a home sale, too. When somebody comes down here that sells as an owner, we have to hold that owner responsible. I'm throwing more work on you guys, but that's where that's going to begin to be take care of.
It really isn't that much work. And they should know this. We have the rules, regs at the gatehouse. Any realtor that comes through here, if they don't have it, they're given a copy. And again, every new owner, non-owner resident is supposed to have been given that book. So we'll tighten that up.
One thing I thought of when I was looking at doing this, and a lot of people say they didn't get one, or like myself, I got one from my previous owner. She'd been here 5 years. It was obviously outdated. So as an owner sells, they should be getting an updated book. One of the things we might be able to do when we come in and prove our that we've purchased a home and we register our car, all that stuff, we could have a cover sheet of a checklist of items, and this could be one of them as received. The owner can initial that they received it from the office. done. No questions asked whether it's been given out, and the date on the book is accurate. So maybe just a master list, like Bob, all the things that Bob was talking about. I mean, that's a great, you know, brainstorming thing to list what are owners responsible for before they can sell their house. Because the house has to be up to snuff, too. I mean, so let's think about a cover sheet for that. Thank you, Bob.
If I'm with the program, we're on G, renovation of refreshment area entering rec hall, right out there.
Okay, we have started. We've been working on it for a few months, and we will be submitting a plan to the board, Stacy, myself, Jose, and we'd like to pull some of the residents, Bob Shearer, in on it. But we have some really good ideas, and once we get it finished, we'll submit it to the board to tweak it and accept our ideas, and hopefully by, you know, we'll start the work, and hopefully when we open back up again, it'll be a really nice area, a waiting area when you enter for your lunches, potluck suppers, or any other special occasions that might, you know, you might have. There'll be water, like with lemons and cucumbers, and it's just a really nice area. So it's a work in progress.
Gonna have beer?
Maybe. It's a possibility. Yeah, absolutely. We're thinking about a coffee station actually when you first enter and have a Keurig machine and in the morning have donuts and then in the afternoon maybe having some cookies. Nothing elaborate. It's just a nice social time for people to see one another when you're going into the library to get a book or something. Nothing real fancy, just something real homey and neighborly.
Bear.
Okay. Resident home inspections. Violations.
Okay, Stacy and I have already started that. We started in the Grove last week, and we have it divided up into streets. We have Diane and Mary have volunteered to get a group together. And what we'd like to do is we'll do the initial inspections, and then we'll have the 30-day follow-up. Hopefully we'll have a couple of committees that will go out and after the 30 days do the follow-up inspections, you know, after we've generated the letter, the violation letter. And this can somehow be incorporated into clean sweep as well. But we're going to start hitting them hard. I don't know what's going on with this parking on the grass. It's gotten out of hand. I mean, totally out of hand. I go through the park, and I'm just amazed. I drove this morning. Friday, it wasn't there. I drove through the park. There was a van, a golf cart, and a minivan, all parked on the grass. People are parking in back of their houses, not even to the left or right side of the driveway, literally in back of their homes. I don't understand it. You know, it's really gotten out of hand. And I don't mind if I'm not here over the weekend. I can be, whatever. But please feel free to come and report it to the office, and it will be dealt with.
A question that I have. It's seemingly like no man's land, but who gets to park on the circle of a court by the palm tree?
I have to say I did it once when my refrigerator got delivered.
That's fine. It's people who think that's their extra driveway, however, that's not fine.
Supposed to park up here. Pardon me?
Anywhere. That's why we have the parking lot. And I can honestly say it's like one or the other. People are either abusing the parking lot and using it as their third, fourth space, or they're parking on the grass. So they've chosen to park on the grass.
parking lot's been beautiful. I haven't had any problems. I had one issue, and we found it and we corrected it. But now everybody again is taking upon themselves to park on the grass. So I'm hoping this reaches everybody and they think twice before they start continue to park on the grass.
Any other comments? All right, let's move to new business. Cherie has a couple of items here to share with us.
Well, we did have two gate attendant positions open. We have filled one. His name is Monroe Cornett. He is a retired aviation engineer. I think that's what he does. Very, very brilliant man. But anyway, he's worked out just fine. We had another guy who we thought on paper it was fabulous. Well, he fell into one car, and he had a problem. Needless to say, he's no longer here. And then we had another one, and we didn't realize, we knew his application was sloppy, but literally could not write. So we do have that one position open. However, we're hoping for a full recovery for our attendant who had a stroke. So, of course, he cannot return to his position until he's 100% discharged from his doctor. So I'm not in a real big hurry to fill that spot. Right now, everything's running real smooth. We will be continuing to interview, though, for that one spot.
So where Monroe prefers to go by Bud?
Yes.
Okay. What shift does he work?
He's working Saturday, Sunday, 2 p.m. till 10 p.m.
Okay. Okay. So they're filling in on the 6 to 2 on weekends?
Yes.
Like a rotating fill-in or something?
Correct. And I'm also available. They know that. If a shift needs to be covered, I've worked the gatehouse. I'm available to cover in a pinch. Stacy Pollock, her 90-day probationary period will end on the 10th of February, at which time she will become an employee of Holiday Park, and that is going to be effective 1 week from today, so that she can start on a Monday, so there's no confusion with pay periods, with manpower, and with Holiday Park. So welcome aboard, Stacy. It's with a heavy heart that I have to tell everybody that Kathleen Richardson is retiring. She has submitted her resignation, retiring. It will be 2 weeks. Let's see. I don't have my phone with me. It was supposed to be the 12th. She's extended it out for another week. So we are going to miss her. She's been a ray of sunshine. I know for me and all the residents, it's going to be hard to fill her shoes. But, you know, we wish her well in her retirement.
Cherie, I have a question in terms of salary for Stacy. What salary will she be coming in at?
I'm going to talk to the board about that. Right now she's making $14 an hour. I don't think that's enough. And I'll tell you why, because she came through manpower, and manpower charged an additional fee, so that was 18. So somewhere between 14 and 18, maybe the board can come up with a number.
Do we need to do that today?
I think it's a good idea. Okay. I think in all fairness, I think 18 is fine. It's just giving her the four that we were paying manpower, and it is in our budget. So I think 18 is not unreasonable.
I don't think 18 should be. We should start at 18. Lori left, barely got from 18 to 20 right before she left, and she'd been here for how many, 3 years?
Two
years. So I think as
you, I think when you were hired, you went in and then at 6 months later, we reviewed again or something like that? Is that how that
this
works?
Is, yeah, but this is the administrative assistant. It's different.
Is there a discussion? Well, wait, do we have to make a motion first?
Yes, we need a motion before we can discuss.
The motion has to state an exact amount? No? I make a motion that we discuss the salary for Stacy Pollock being permanent employee as of whatever, February 15th, 2021.
Second.
Now, discussion.
You're talking about the board?
Pardon me?
I don't agree with the rate at 18, to be honest with you. I think it needs to be lower, and for the simple reason that you can't hear me. And for the simple reason. What the? Can you hear me? Okay.
Stay close.
Okay. For the simple reason that there's a lot of training involved in this job, and I'd rather see somebody work their way up the ladder rather than start from the top. So I'm thinking 16, that's what I'm thinking. Even 15? Did you say models? Models get 15? Oh. Okay, anyway, that's my opinion.
Other expressions.
Anybody out there? Mary?
I know. Mary Quirk, 379 Holiday Park Boulevard, Northeast. Stace, if you don't pay Stacy, being a secretary, you've been secretary, if you don't get the money, you're going to lose her. And she does very good work. We were working with her this morning. She's very intelligent. She's a go-getter. And I bet you within a day she'll have what we asked her to do done. I'm just saying, you're going to lose her. You really need somebody in this park that's going to work. They're all, and I can see that she's a go-getter. That's all.
So you feel comfortable enough starting at that salary right now?
I do, personally.
Are you asking me? No. Okay.
I'm asking everybody. Bruce, who's talking?
Steve.
Steve Ambrose, 241 Blossom. I think $18 an hour is a good salary to start her off with. She's doing a good job, so let's not lose her.
Okay.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. It was just a short time ago we got the executive secretary, if that's her title, $16. I think $18 is a fair price. She's only getting 14 now for manpower. She's only getting 14. I think 18 is a good starting figure. She hasn't, well, then 90 days probation, you can revisit it. But at least let's do it at 18.
Okay. Bob?
This is 90 days.
One of the things you're not discussing here is you're going to take her at 18 in 2 weeks. When would she be due for another review, in your opinion? So this is where I just want you to be careful. We did this with our manager here, who we just climb within a year or two. From 14 to 18 is just short of a 30% increase. In the world we live in, 30% is a darn nice increase, okay? So if we do that, and then we say 6 months from now, you're going to review her again and take her to 20, and then in a year, just say 22, you're almost up to, believe it or not, what we were paying a manager 5 years ago. So I'm not going to begrudge anyone a raise, but she took a job at 14. If you said to me tomorrow, let's take her to 16, she spent 90 days here, okay, and in another 90 days or in another 6 months, if everything goes online, we take her to 18. At the end of a year, this job pays 20. I think we need a progression rate, not jumping in with both feet right now and saying, wow, what is this going to cost us within a year?
When it came time for the last budget, if anybody, well, I don't know who was going to remember it, but it was decided that annual increases would become effective for everyone, the manager and all employees, when the new budget went into effect in October.
Right.
Okay. So, no, she wouldn't be, if she got an $18 per hour salary now, be due for an increase in a review in 90 days. She, along with everyone, would be evaluated for an increase in the next budget of October 2021.
21-22.
Figure out, do the math, somebody.
I thought I was just...
a little calculator?
Yeah, I was just...
What does that come out? What does $18 an hour? By the way, it's my understanding that Kathy is not going to be replaced. Therefore, does she take on additional duties as well?
That's not true.
Well, that's what you told me. But
who,
anyway,
who told you that?
You did.
Oh, no, I must have, no.
I've got the age, but I'm not senile yet. You did speak to me about that.
I.
But if she's going to be replaced, that's well and good, and she should be.
Okay.
But until she is, Stacy will be taking that on, too. But that bottom line is, I think $18 an hour comes to what per salary? Annual.
Oh, annual.
Go with that.
I thought you meant you wanted the 3%.
No. 18, go figure it out. 40 hours a week.
7, 20, 10,
and then multiply by 52.
$37,440.
How much?
$37,440.
I just want to point out that she has VA benefits, so she will not be using the parks health insurance plan. So that's another issue to consider here.
So what does that mean, Joanne? 37 with the ARMA. I don't know, is that you would...
I think another thing, too, is if we follow the budget guidelines, the increases were 1 point or 2 point something percent. And it was actually the board that, maybe a member on the board, that had voted to give a couple of employees a $2 jump per hour raise instead of sticking with the 1 or 3/4. I don't know, was it 3%? So... That was voted on. So if we stick to the budget, it's really not going to be that much. And it's already in the budget as well.
Any other discussion? So I guess we have to pinpoint an amount. Who made our motion?
I did.
Okay.
I make the motion to start Stacy Pollock at $18 an hour beginning Monday, February 15th, when she becomes a permanent employee of Holiday Park.
I second the motion.
Paul seconded it. Any other discussion?
October.
Well, that's automatic, Bob. October 21.
No. It'll be in this year's budget, which we do now, but it goes into effect in October.
Let's not have bedlam. Okay? Let's do this orderly. Everybody shouting, we don't hear anything.
Okay, so this is $18, and as Joanne explained before, all the employees are reviewed and evaluated prior to the new budget in October. That's our standing operating procedure. It's taken us a while to get there, but we're at that point now, and I hope we don't lose sight of that. Okay, I'll call the question. All in favor of an $18 starting point for Stacy, raise your right hand. All opposed? One. Okay. A D item is for the board to take action on the application that we have from Thomas Clark for the ACC board. Somebody want to make a motion that we take action on him?
I don't know who.
Didn't they approve him? I thought there was only.
Did ACC have an approval? Do they have a board?
We don't have yet. They only have three members.
But can, okay.
They can do that.
They can.
They can. They have three, that's a quorum.
Okay.
Steve Ambrose, 241 Blossom. Right now, there's only three members of the ACC board. We did have a meeting last week, and we knew there was one application. Right now, and I looked at the form that he had, the letter, he does have the requirements, but right now we don't have a chair of the ACC. So I'm the secretary, and not up to me to make any motions to accept or not to accept, I don't think. Ron Foote was at our last meeting to sort of guide us a little bit, but we do need some members of the ACC, and he has the qualifications. Hopefully he'd like to be the chair.
Has he come and met with you guys to talk to you?
He didn't come to talk to us at the last meeting.
Are you going to invite him to do that?
I will give him, we've got a meeting next Tuesday, I will give him,
and then
him to the meeting.
Is our board to meet with him, or we just go by their?
Usually in the past, like last year, there was usually a member of the trustees that sat in at our meetings. One member of the trustees would sit in at our meetings. But, of course, it's been sort of staggered because there hasn't been many people around. So if the trustee wants to sit in on Tuesday, 9:30 in the library, you're more than welcome. Any questions for me?
Peterson's application?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to ask that. Is that something that a trustee would like to volunteer to help sit in on an ACC meeting? Not me, because I know nothing. I don't want
to. I'm not sure if I can make it.
Pardon me?
I'd have to check back to see if I can make it. I don't know.
But you might be interested in
sure.
Bringing the information back to us?
Why don't you let me know, Paul?
All right.
Okay, when you find out.
Who are the three current members right now, Steve? I'm sorry. Just say it out loud. I'll repeat it.
It's Howard Weaver, Steve Ambrose, and Mary Kirkham.
And a couple of them are just all
yeah.
The trustee that is appointed actually sits on that board. They're not a liaison. They sit on that board. It's been that way in the past.
That's not what Steve said, though. He was talking about a board member being at the meeting to talk with Thomas Clark, correct?
I understand what you're saying, but in the past, we've had a board member actually on that board.
On the ACC board?
You can have one trustee on the board.
Okay.
Ron Foote, 214 Holiday Park. I was the chairman of the committee, but my term ran out. And you don't have to, we've only had Mike Hamm when he was in on the board. He sat in about four meetings. And I was on there two more years before that, and we had nobody from the board. So we haven't had a board member present at the meetings all the time.
It's not been consistent.
Right. And they didn't have anyone assigned until Mike Hamm took it on.
Pardon me?
The board didn't have anybody assigned until Mike Hamm took it on.
Actually, I was told I couldn't serve on the ACC being on the board, this board.
Right. They aren't actually a member. They just sit in there and they're like a liaison between the board and the ACC. They oversee to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do right, I guess. They're not actually a member.
So you're not a voting member. You're just sitting in on meetings, looking at applications.
Correct.
Well, I'd like to do that.
Go right ahead, Terry. You do a good job anyway.
Well, there you go. Paul, you're off the hook.
There we go.
Yay, Terry.
Okay. Let's have a beer.
So Terry is the...
Yeah, I guess so.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. Did I get this right, that the ACC has to approve the application?
That's what I'm guessing.
Well, that was what I was just heard, but that's not true.
Oh, jeez. Well, that's what Mike did in my minutes.
No. The board appoints people to committees. The committee doesn't pick and send it to the board. It's a board's choice, not the ACC's choice. I sit on committees. We don't pick people to sit on the committee. The board picks them. So if you have applications or letters to sit on the ACC board, it's up to you to approve them, not the ACC board.
Somebody's differing with you, so let's hear it.
If we have opinions to express, come to the microphone.
I think this is correct. Letters are submitted usually to the ACC board. They review them and make their recommendations to the Board of Trustees, who then not only appoints them, but the secretary swears them in. So that's part of that whole procedure, just like you would swear in the treasurer, Freudian slip.
Board members.
Just like you would the trustees. But that's the way that would go. So the recommendation and the letters should be to the ACC, and they should... their recommendation should be to the board. You don't know them. Hopefully they do.
And I think that's where we're coming from,
What usually happens with a trustee board, if different trustees are given different assignments, one was always liaison to the ACC board, and that's how they served, as a liaison. So you knew that there were 20 applications going over, and this is going to happen. And you had somebody on the Board of Trustees had some knowledge about what might possibly come before the board for a ultimate decision, if needed.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So, Steve, is that what you're asking one of our trustees to come to your meeting next Tuesday, and you're going to have Mr. Clark there, and maybe some other applicants if we get any other letters, and then your board would make a recommendation to the board for appointment? Is that how we get it? Am I got it sequentially right? Yeah, well, that's why I ask questions, because I don't know how it works either. But. Yep. Okay. Thank you, Joanne.
nice to have memories of people. Don't try to whip out of that now. You're our memory. You got to hang in there. Okay. So I think we're at number 11, public comments. Come to the mic.
Sharon Schmidt, 1055 Sunflower. Two things. Whoever recommended our current landscapers?
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Nice to hear.
They do an exceptional job compared to what we had. Okay. The only other thing I have is a question. Back when I first moved here, I guess it's about a year ago, a little over a year ago, I think it was the first and only indoor meeting I got to before we closed down. You had a gentleman here presenting the differences between having Spectrum as our cable people and AT&T. My question is anything being been going forward with that at all?
I would say that our Spectrum contract 22, is that the date? I think it's 22.
January 23.
Yeah, that sounds right.
We were supposed to start negotiating, and that would involve Spectrum, AT&T, and this Chase Gillum? Gill? He is a, what do I want to say? A broker, and he can give us other options as well. And I don't recall
I mean, I'm not expecting that anything's going to happen anytime in the near future, but I was just wondering if that was kind of still on the table.
Yes.
Actually, I had it in my notes that it was going to be addressed or brought up again at the February, at this next month's workshop meeting. That's what I had in my notes from last year in correspondence with Chase. And he did just recently reach out to us because apparently that's what he had in his notes also. I still am concerned why we would address it that far in advance, but he was suggesting at the time to actually end the contract prior to December 22 and starting a new contract. And I do believe that AT&T is not in the works because they do not do bulk internet. Is that right?
We're not sure. AT&T has laid all brand new fiber optics throughout the park, so I'm pretty sure they're very interested as we get closer. I'm not totally convinced that we need a broker. My opinion, the money could be well used if we had a committee that stuck to it and researched it when the time gets closer. That's my opinion. Again, we have contract doesn't end until 2023. No one is going to negotiate, but I think we should revisit even having that type of liaison or broker person.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Walk on up, whoever gets here first.
Mark Bodo, 121 Holiday Park Boulevard. This is a letter to the Board of Trustees. On January 12, 2021, the yearly reorganizational meeting of the Board of Trustees was held. Five of seven applicants were at that meeting. As the board had not held a meeting before that to seat new board members, it was decided that the reorg meeting would only appoint the chairperson, the treasurer, and the secretary. The chairperson and the secretary received unanimous votes. The treasurer had one no vote. It was decided at that time to reschedule and have another meeting on January 19th. On January 19th, the meeting was held to fill the vacant board seats and complete the reorganization of the board. The applicants were here, and they were allowed to explain why they were seeking a position on the board and answer any questions from the board members or any residents. Twice, a resident of the park asked applicants if they had been recruited, to which the applicants responded, no. Following the vetting of the applicants, it was clear that Robert Shortledge was highly qualified to sit on the board. In fact, he had a lot of board experience and had just finished a term. When it came to nominations, Robert was nominated twice along with another applicant. Robert was not voted on the board. He did not receive the votes. One of the applicants voted on the board has lived in the park for some time and stated that he had never attended even a single meeting. Another applicant voted on the board had to be contacted by the park manager and told that the meeting was about to begin and that they needed to be here. You may ask why I bring this up. Following the first reorganizational meeting, my wife, who was on the board at the time, was approached by the park manager and verbally told that the board did not want Robert Shortledge on the board and, in fact, would not vote Robert Shortledge on the board. How is it that the park manager came by this information? Did she speak with the board members directly? Did it come up in a discussion between the park manager and a third party? Was the park manager acting as a de facto liaison between board members? I would like to know. I find this behavior despicable, deplorable, and deceitful. As board members, you took an oath to support, protect, and defend the Constitution, government of the United States and state of Florida, and our bylaws. You also have a fiduciary responsibility to all the residents of this park to do what's right. At the end of the meeting, it was brought up about the treasurer again. I'm not going to get into that. That's all been hashed. Trustee meetings are run by and for trustees to conduct trustee business. The park manager's responsibility is to give the manager's report and to answer direct questions posed to him or her. Other than this, the park manager should not interfere with trustee business meetings or trustee business. Thank you.
Any other, Bob or Joanne? Let's come in order.
Okay. Where'd we get? I have a couple of things I want to say. First of all, I love the idea of your, I think it was maybe Jack's idea, maybe the entire board's, I'm not sure about your cleanup, whatever this you're calling it. And I don't mean to bust your bubble, but it's not new and novel because we've tried this so many times to the point where at one point we had a sign-up sheet outside for anyone who could do power washing, weeding, anything that you could help your neighbor. It stayed blank for months before we took it down. All right, so my question first on that, if we do have or see something, what did you want us to do about it? Are we to call the office? Are we to go there, fill out a complaint form? I wasn't sure about that.
Okay, the intent would be that you would fill out a form and turn it into the office.
So we come up to the office, we fill out the complaint form.
Or go
form
to your computer and get the form and print
okay.
it.
Okay, and it states what you think the, power washing
what
or whatever.
What the issue is, right.
Okay, all right, so that's all well and good. We'll see where that goes. But then again, it's just like any other thing, it has to be followed up, correct?
Correct.
Right, so follow-up is really important in everything you do as you sit on this board. Not just for this, for anything that's discussed here, remember your follow-up, because without it, you're dead in the water, because it gets really pushed under the rug. Do your fiduciary responsibility, as Mark just said. The other thing I want to bring up is, having lived in the park for so many years, I really see a decline, and I'm sorry I have to be the one to say it, but I think a lot of people are feeling it. And it's for a couple of reasons. One, especially, is the amount of rentals that we are getting in the park. Without full-time Florida residents, these seats are going to be all empty because that's what it takes to fill it, and we're not getting that. I would like to ask that the manager at the next meeting provide us with the number of rentals currently in the park. Now, can something be done in our deed restrictions? And this is what I want you to think about, and you have to get legal authority on it. If we were to change deed restrictions that allotted a percentage of the park to be allocated as rental properties, because the monthly reports I was getting on the number of homes sold and that those rented, not only was it equal, but it was far outweighed with the rentals to the number of homes being sold. That being said, the other major problem we have is the number of people that disregard our deed restrictions, rules and regulations, violations, policies, bylaws, and they're sitting out here too, and they know it. And they do it because they can get away with it, and they blatantly say it. And there's nothing that we ever do. Nothing. Nothing. Now, the manager said that with the people with the underage children living here, that we're going to start to fine them if they don't comply with whatever was voted on. How is that possible if they're not given the same time frame that we have to give all the residents? Was it because of the letter written by the attorney? Because if that's the case, then that's what we have to do with every one of them. Because we do the one letter, we do the two letters, we do the three letters. Have we ever, ever, ever fined anyone in this park? Never. You know why? Because they all know it. They say you can get away with it. And they know who they are. And they, how do they get away with owning more than one home? I'll put my house in my name, then your name. We've got four kids. Each one of them's going to have a house, and now we're going to have six rentals, aren't we? And that's the way that's going down. And I'm sorry. It stinks.
Thank you.
Yeah. Dennis Levine, 1046 Sunflower Lane. Bob's here to speak on behalf of me.
Can you bring the mic up? We can't hear you. Bring
Dennis
the mic
Levine,
up to your mouth.
Dennis Levine. 1046 Sunflower Lane. Bob Shearer is going to speak on my behalf.
I'm here for Dennis because, Bob Shearer, because Dennis is one of the people who the previous grounds crew wrecked his house pretty badly. And currently, we have a system right now in place that I understand you've got to go fix this yourself and then try to sue this previous grounds company. His air conditioner was hit very badly. There's no doubt about it. It was by a grounds crew. And then once the air conditioner was hit, it twisted and turned, and it broke the cement skirting all the way down the side of his house, created intense cracks. I'm not sure how, as a homeowner, we can go and sue a previous contractor that the park hired. We don't have a contract or any kind of an agreement with those people. You guys do. So you either got to figure out, did they have insurance, and are we placing something against them for insurance liens? And Dennis is not the other only one. I know of several other people who have had problems like this. But I feel the board needs to take action on this and figure out how are we going to correct these problems and not throw it on individual homeowners to put money out of their own pockets to fix a problem. I spoke for Dennis because I needed he asked me to speak, but I knew I needed 3 minutes for two other things. Number two I'm going to talk to you about is, in a way, it concerns the speed bumps. All right. I just, last week, Bev and I spent time with Palm Bay Ambulance. We went and spent time with Brevard County Fire Company. I guess it's Palm Bay Fire Company and Brevard Ambulance, right? And all of them said the same thing. We cannot take an active thing and give you a letter, but we wish everybody in your park would have to ride over these speed bumps and realize what it does to the fire trucks, the people on it, and the same way with the ambulances. They then put me in touch with people in Rockledge, who I'm dealing with right now. I got to tell you what, I think they're wrong. The first words out of their mouth were, "We don't see a permit for an additional speed bump." And then they pushed me down to Public Works down here. And I'm going to go with what you're all going to say. They're our roads. They are our roads, but they are the ones who have to do certain things. So I think we might need to check into that. I'm waiting for a call back. In the meantime, I had spoke to Palm Bay Police about what could we do, and the young man back here actually gave me some very good information. $5 an hour for a cruiser, $30 an hour for a police officer. With a 3-hour minimum, they can come in and enforce laws if we sign an agreement with them. There's some other things that, yes, we might have to change out our speed signs, but would we be willing to end up hiring the police officers who could come in here and take care of maybe our speeding problems, watch at stop signs, park. I've sat out here recently at Center Lane in Holiday Park. Car after car just comes to a slow
roll,
but they continue right through it, okay? The other day, I personally saw a person come down the entrance into the park, get to that stop sign, didn't even come close to a stop. He had to still be doing 20 miles an hour. We were at the gazebo turning. He cut right in front of us. You know me, I found him. I went down the street, and he's at that house where the two fellows are living with his mother illegally. I went up and knocked on the door. I didn't care. And I proceeded to tell him that I didn't get a picture, but I know you did it, and he admitted it. He said, "I was in a hurry." So let's get the police as a possibility to fix our problem. It's not my job to go out and find out somebody here. Along that line of what was said, I'm going to take it a step further, what Mark said back there, okay? Palm Bay, I have nothing to do with my time, by the way, so I listen to Palm Bay meetings. In January, if you're aware, Palm Bay had a tremendous problem with the mayor, some council people, and a city council manager. City council manager has been removed and a new person is now in charge. Three council people were removed and the mayor was removed. And they were removed because basically they didn't know their job and what they could do and can't do. So they went out and hired a consultant who came in from Tallahassee and gave a presentation to what the job responsibilities are for each of you trustees, and more importantly, what the job responsibility is for our district manager. We might all think and we might all have our opinions. I have no idea. I will tell you this, Cherie, I've given her the name, the phone number, and the email for this contact. I suggest wholeheartedly that we look at whether it's him or somebody else that comes into the park, sits here to open quorum, and explains responsibilities and duties of the people of this park. And that would include us as residents out here. I hope I didn't take more than 3 minutes, but I guess the final point I have is, and please, Mark, don't take offense to this. If I sat on this board right now, and I was that young lady right there, I'd have a lawyer. And I think that lawyer, you guys need to go and hire a lawyer to defend yourselves against the slanderous remarks that were made to her and each one of you, and including us as residents for letting this get by. If what happened here is not taken care of, and that goes on record, that you guys didn't do your jobs, and there was and all this other stuff, and I didn't write them all down. I think we're all in trouble as a park. So I think it needs to hire a lawyer that's going to represent each one of you guys in a lawsuit that should be taken.
What are you talking about, Bob? I'm confused.
When that resignation was read by Cindy Bodell, okay, there was accusation after accusation made of everything from misappropriation of funds to, I don't remember everything. You want to read it out loud again and look at the things. It wasn't directed at her alone. It was directed at you and you.
I agree, and I even said to Cherie, do you think there's going to be legal consequences here? And after I had read the letter, there was nothing specific. There's nothing
exactly
that she can prove. It's slanderous to say that she's not doing her job when you're not giving us facts about what you think she's not doing, and we're covering for her. We don't know what you're talking about.
But once it's made that there were slanderous remarks made against each of you in that context. Some of you people might be new, but you're now on the board. Okay? I think you need to figure out, do we need to put a defense against this accusation?
I see what you mean.
Deborah Bennett, 1150 Seminole.
Can't hear you.
Deborah Bennett, 1150 Seminole. I have a form here that was
that
you use for caregiver letters for people that have caregivers. And if you look on the form, there's no letterhead here. There's nowhere that it allows for the physician's address, name, telephone number, or anything. And I think it should.
It does identify, there is a place for a physician's identifying information. What you're saying, their address isn't on there?
Their address, their phone number, a fax number. Like if somebody comes in with one of those letters, you want to have a phone number for them.
Well, there is one. Physician, telephone number, and there's a place for a stamp that would give all information and a license number.
Okay.
It probably could be a little clearer.
Yeah. I looked at a note that was brought in. And there was nothing of the sort on it at all. And the stamp wasn't on it.
Okay. Thank you.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. I don't do Facebook, but I was told by two different people that talked with me that there was at least 30 or 40 complaints about the speed bumps. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen, I have to say that. I've been over it two or three times just to check it out myself. Number two, I sent the Board of Trustees a letter just prior to that meeting where you were going to approve the speed bump. I don't know if they even got it. We have been told that the ambulance people do not want the speed bumps. They cannot put needles in your arm when they're going over a speed bump. The ambulance driver says, stop, everybody don't do nothing while they get over the speed bump. That's crap. I think that speed bump should be taken out. That's my opinion. And I think the board voted it unanimously, if I remember right.
No, I think it was 5-2, but yeah,
whatever.
We were.
I really think the speed bump should come out. Read my letter if you didn't read it, because I very specifically said in there the things about the speed bumps.
I would like to respond to that by saying we had various people respond from emergency vehicles coming in here and saying, unless it's an extreme emergency, all needles, etc., are done before. before they move the vehicles. Mm-hmm. So we were acting on that information, and I know, Bruce, you weren't at that session, whether it was Zoom or whatever, but we did have that point of view. And I know when your letter came in that that was different, but that's not what we had from people here. Joe?
Joe Little, 1031 Vista Court, and I just have a few suggestions for the board to consider for the future. In reference to that clean sweep flyer going out, we're using Facebook, we're using 732, we're using The Happening, stuff like that. There are a lot of renters now in the park, and trust me, I know a lot of people are probably not using any of those three activities to see what's going on in the park. So my suggestion to you is that, sorry to make work for you, Cherie, but we create a ICE list for the park, ICE in case of emergency, for an email blast to be sent out to, you know, when you have something like this, you attach it to an email. You send it out to every house, okay? Every house gets it. That way you know they're getting it. It's a better way of communication, in my opinion. And then nobody has an excuse to say, whoa, I didn't see that. I don't know what you're talking about. Operation Sweep? Because some of these people, I don't think they, you know, get out and about too much. They come out of their houses, et cetera, if they're renters. Second item, in reference to what Joanne was talking about, the number of yearly rentals in the park, I think the board should consider making a rule. You have a rule about park ownership, one per person, and so forth and so on. You need to consider if someone buys a property, they need to live in that property for at least 3 years before they can rent it, okay? It's a property right up here. I think it's 436, right next to Jim and Karen. Not sure what their last names are. 436 Holiday Park, right across from the horrible house. It was on the market. It was sold. And the next day, it's on a rental, okay, to be rented out on a yearly basis, $10.75 a month, okay? That kind of stuff, in my opinion, needs to stop. Property owners, make them live in the place for 3 years, and you'll cut that kind of stuff out. You'll get a much better clientele in the park here and a much better park, in my opinion. Number three, the board should consider making a change to their operations. When someone comes in here and submits a proposal, and it's over $5,000, you need to listen to their proposal, but not give approval. You need to listen what they have to say, and I'll give a for instance on the bocce courts. I'm not saying that you shouldn't approve that when you did, but when we're going to spend that kind of money, let's have the presentation, and then we sit back for 2 weeks, and each one of you can look at it and you say, boy, what do I like? What do I don't like? Okay, and you trustees, even though we have the sunshine law, I don't think there's anything to prevent Sherry from sending a note to everybody saying, hey, you know, we just had this thing on the bocce courts. This is what I think, or this is what I like, this is what I don't like.
Well, can't do it.
Because it's already
on board. We just had that conversation with the lawyer who said, I could send that note to them.
Okay.
Not one of them can respond to me.
No, I'm not saying
and
that.
And not one of them can send a note with their ideas. So the first person who makes known what they like or dislike is the only one who can make the comment.
Okay.
That's why we always have to discuss here in front of everybody.
I
agree, Joe. I wish.
Okay. Well, I'll take that back then, because I thought it was different than that. So
I'll
stand corrected on that.
Am I right?
But
is that what he explained to me just 2 weeks ago or whatever it was?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, I think making decisions like that, when you just hear something and you got, you know, for 5 minutes and you're talking about it and so forth, I don't think is a good way to spend thousands and thousands of dollars. I think you should go home, contemplate it, come back to the next meeting, make your decision. Number five. The virus is getting a little better here and there. Some places are opening up. Florida is opening up. Some of you know, many of you might not know, I called bingo as a volunteer on a regular basis here when the park was open. And I know the ladies that play bingo, and the gentlemen too, they really like bingo. And I would like for you all to consider opening up the rec center again on Sunday afternoon. I know there's a cleaning issue involved, but I think it's time. I honestly think it's time to maybe consider starting some things up again. My opinion.
I agree.
Please. Number six. This has probably been talked about before too, but I'm bringing it up again. Hasn't been talked about for years that I know of. We're making changes to the building here. We're adding this, we're adding the library, we're adding that coffee thing and all that. That's great. I think we need a gym, okay, with some treadmills, some stepper machines, nothing heavy duty, nothing that nobody's going to kill themselves on. But I think that the residents could use something like that, and I think they would, okay? It wouldn't take up much area. I know there's liability issues and all that kind of thing. But just my opinion, I think something like that would be useful to many residents, something that many residents would take advantage of and be helpful to a lot of people, especially if you're doing any kind of rehab or anything from a surgery, whatever. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I don't know what has happened with Don Washington in terms of physical equipment that he was looking at and a place to put it. Pardon me?
Oh, an outdoor space?
Yes. I don't know what happened to that idea, and I haven't seen Don in a long time. So he asked me if I would give them some ideas, but I haven't heard anything more about it. Okay, other questions or comments?
Yeah, I want to speak first.
Get closer, Bev.
Okay. We got this received, and I think everybody that's on Facebook has seen all this trash. That's what I'm calling it. All these people that are talking about the speed bump, and then they're saying they need a speed bump now. I think we really need to do something more about this. I think that speed bump needs to come out.
Taking Joe Little's comments to heart, I just got that in my box this morning. I haven't read it. I just saw that it was all about speed bump. But I didn't bring it in here to address anything right now. So.
Is there any other comment?
My comment is I don't do Facebook. I don't consider it an official communication device for this trustee board. So I feel that real communication comes from our audience that's sitting here. And people need to take ownership of their comments, bring them to us. A decision was made. Have I second-guessed it? You know what? I have. But I keep saying to myself, well, there's a couple other speed bumps in the park. Obviously, they thought there was a need at some point. And now we've opened this can of worms, like someone had said, where you put them here, then why can't I have them on my road? And what you get people who say, well, I want them by my road, or I want them down here. If you take one out, you take all out.
That's how I feel, or you just put in the ones that you've approved and deal with it. We can't keep going back and forth. No one's bitching about the speed bumps that have been there on the roads before.
They've been there for a long time, yes, I agree. But you can't just easily take them out like we can take these others out that have been screwed into the ground.
But that's not the point.
Yes, that is my point.
Yeah.
Can I have the floor, please?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I go on Facebook because the only time I find out what's going on in the park, and I think us people here on the board need to know some of this crap that goes on. I don't think that we've got other people though and making excuses, and it's causing fights between a lot of people here in the park. And we don't need that. We need everybody to like each other and care about each other. And I think
agree.
That these speed bumps really have to go. I'm sorry, I said, but the lady that wanted them is now, she's the one we had to have this officer sit down here for us. So why should we help her? Let's help us.
Whoa.
You know what? You know, if you remove a speed bump, and the reason it's there is because we had so many complaints about the speed, then let's find something to replace it with. Let's not just go out and yank stuff out, because you're going to have the same conversation you've had when the speed bump was discussed. If people are traveling at too high a speed, give us some answers what to do in that case.
And I think Bob did with our...
You think Bob Shearer?
Do you have somebody?
Yeah.
Okay, Ron, go ahead.
Ron Foote, 214 Holiday Park. I got a couple comments about your speed bump. I think they solved it. Bob solved it by having the police officer come in here, pay him the money, and find the people. I've seen trucks come out of this parking lot so fast, they had their door open on a UPS truck, he almost landed in my front yard without the truck.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not kidding. And they go by my house now because the speed bumps are over there, which they should be. I have no questions they should be there. And they're coming by my house a lot faster now. I don't have a dog. I don't have a cat. I had my grandkids here. I've had my friend's grandkids here. I don't want them run over by some dummy coming through the park. And I'm calling them dummies because that's what they are. I've had people say, well, 15 miles an hour? I never go 15. My car can't go that slow. I can put my van on cruise control at 10 miles an hour and go through this whole park and not have a bit of problem. So the problem's with the residents, not with the speed bumps. And also the medics do not start an IV in Florida on the move.
Say that again?
The medics in the ambulances in Florida do not start an IV on the move. So going over a bump, and if they're a true medic, I got 35 years as an EMT in the north. We never stopped. We did it over potholes, snowbanks, wherever we went, we could put a needle in. So the speed bumps have nothing to do with the EMS or the fire. Now, my other thing, ACC needs to have fine system put in so they can be effective. What the sister park does, my wife and I spent part of a day over to the sister park on the other side, and when they have a complaint violation, it goes directly to the lawyer. The lawyer sends out the first warning, he sends out the second warning, he sends out the third one, and then it goes to the court, and they put a lien on the house. And that way, they can't sell a house until the park gets their money. And I think that's what should be enforced here. It's the only way you're going to get them. I know you guys spent time trying to get a fine system set up, and it couldn't be done, and this is the way to do it. You have to spend the money. And I think if you do it to 8 or 10 people, the rest of the people in the park are going to smarten up and realize there's rules and regulations and why they're here. It's not just to give the guys on the ACC or you trustees something to do. It's to make the park look good and keep our values up. And I've had a contractor come to me that works in the park all the time, and he asked me, well, do I need a permit to put windows in a screen room? I said, yes, you do. He says, well, if I sneak them in on Saturday, I don't need them, right? I said, well, you've been doing it for 20 years, so why did you bother to come to me? That was my answer. So I just think you need to have a fine system put in, and I think that was going to solve a lot of problems with everything in the park. If you know you're going to get fined, maybe you'll think twice before you do something stupid. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
Anne Marie Ashley, 387 Holiday Park. Just a couple of things, in my opinion. Money that's being spent on a bocce ball court or making this clubhouse look nicer, that's all fine and dandy. But you know where we need some money spent? The sidewalks. The sidewalks are disgusting. You cannot even half the time walk on the sidewalk, especially over by the green space by my area. It's treacherous. If you go Holiday Park and follow it around, it is bad news. So we need to spend money. Sorry, Joe, but before Jim, we need some sidewalks in this place. The second thing is the speed bumps. The speed bumps have not slowed down the traffic, the new speed bumps, in our area, which is right down past those speed bumps. They go just as fast, if not faster, because I think they're annoyed they had to slow down for the speed bump. I like Bob's idea about a cop in here. Let's get that cop in here, and let's start getting people tickets, and maybe then they'll slow down. I don't know what's going on at the guardhouse, but there was a woman in here, and I couldn't remember her license plate. I didn't have my phone with me 2 days ago when I was walking my dog at 7 o'clock in the morning. It was a little black Nissan, I'm going to say a Sentra, did not have a sticker on the car. She was a younger woman, and she zoomed by me going towards Sunflower. And as I walked up towards the speed bumps, she zoomed by me, went down Little Court, came out of Little Court, went down Moonlight Court, came out of Moonlight, and then kept going. So I don't know who she was or what she was looking for or what she's doing in here. And people are bringing pit bull dogs in here to visit. John Bonacera confronted his neighbor who is a renter, and I'm trying not to segregate renters, but the kid told him, oh, my grandma lives here. We can bring this dog in here anytime we want. So things are not good. And you know what? We are starting to live in a trailer park, and it's very sad, but it's true.
If I could answer part of that statement that you made, we got an estimate on the cost to do sidewalks throughout the community for refurbishment and replacement. It was what, Sherry, $230,000. Does that sound right? I am in the practice right now, I'm looking for a grant which relates to this area for the sidewalk funds to try to write and get that money. We tried, What's the biggest one, Sherry? What did we try? Block grant. We tried a block grant, and we're told we can't apply for one. Now, I'd already had the application pretty much written. They won't let us apply for a block grant because the place doesn't attribute itself to the general public because it's a private. That's why. And we even went and talked to Palm Bay City. And they had a representative from the development block grant up there, and she looked it up and come find out we couldn't apply for any block grants through the city in the United States. So I'm still looking for a grant which would apply.
I still think some money should be spent on some sidewalks. If you could spend $34,000 on a bocce court, you can put some concrete down on those roads so we can walk on our streets.
Maybe we can identify the worst sidewalks right now and pick a footage and get it done. If we piecemeal
it's going to look piecemeal because that's
what they did last
time.
Well, I'm sorry, but do we have $230,000 to do the whole park? Probably not. I mean, there's nothing. I know.
$34,000 on a bocce court, but no cement for the sidewalks. Don't get it. And that's why we sometimes almost get hit because of the speeders.
Okay. When
next.
The budget comes up.
Sharon?
So you're saying I don't have to apply for a grant then?
Oh, apply.
Or Once again, Sharon Schmidt, 1055 Sunflower. Just two things. One is, I have to agree with, I believe it was Bruce that brought up that letter that was sent addressing Cherie and the rest of the board. I agree, it was a disgrace. I'm sorry. Maybe, you know, I don't know if everybody agrees with me, but that's the way I felt. And the only other thing I want to say is I hope I never have to experience the kind of disrespect I saw here at the last meeting. That was a disgrace. Thank you.
Thank you.
Christy Smith, 327 Holiday Park. This is about the new humps. So I am the person that submitted the paper to the office today. After my own concerns, my own health issues, going over the bumps.
Get closer.
Humps.
Please.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. After my own health issues, going over the humps, on a rock instead of just a roll over, I'm not against the humps. I mean, if we do end up taking them off with the police and having the police instead, that's up to everyone else. But if we have to continue having those humps there, I'm asking the board if they would please consider, instead of having them staggered like they are right now, to have them straight across like all the other bumps are. I understand this is a hump, but everyone, take a ride over it. Go really slow, but your wheels go
mm-hmm.
like this.
I did.
I have 10 people, at least 10 people as of today, on Facebook, on the Holiday Park Living group, that have complained about pain, worried about seniors. I just want to throw it out there, and I'm hoping that you all consider to go take a look at them, take a ride, and consider at least aligning side by side, like this, instead of like that, so we can roll over them slowly, evenly. Thank you.
Thank you.
One more time. Okay. Last thing on the speed bumps. When they were approved, it was at least my understanding that there would be four, but they weren't going to be placed as they were placed now. It was my understanding it was two further down the road, coming in the other direction, another two. I don't know where that got changed, but that was my understanding at the time, and that might improve it somewhat. The second thing regarding sidewalks, it is absolutely must be on your agenda, and discussion has to start. So Keith, I'm gonna ask if you, at the next meeting, give us an update. You had money put aside for not only the bocce courts, but there was money put aside from the money that we were paying off our loans. Could you tell us how much money that is? Where can you dig up the money, and how can we start doing it, even if we did, and I would agree with Cheryl, start doing it piecemeal, but you got to get it started. I don't know if I have 5 or 10 years, so I'd like to see it in my lifetime.
Bob Shear. Jack, I saw you taking notes on everything, and I think that you will follow up on most of these, and I really appreciate it. One of the things I thought I heard a lot of talk about was the renters in the park. I think that maybe you could sort of put this into perspective. Is you can't find a renter. What do they care? But you end up fining the homeowner of the house, okay? And if there's money owed, they can't rent that property out again until they pay the fines. If they're parking the cars there and we give them a fine, if they got an illegal dog, whatever it might be, I'm sure the cleaning falls on the owner, but if they're breaking rules, make it effective to the homeowner, because that homeowner is going to take care of getting that problem fixed real quick when they know it's going to come out of their pocket. So there's a way you could put that in there and I think handle that problem.
Could I comment on that just for a second? Rent owners cannot rent if the house is not in good standing. And I would think if it had a fine against it, they wouldn't be in good standing. And I agree with you, Bob, it should happen. But I think everything's in place to do that anyway, now.
Wayne Adams, 1143 Greenview Court. When it comes to these speed bumps, all they do is slow the person down when they drive over the bump. But once they get over the bump, they speed. So to me, they're doing no good, no justice whatsoever. When it comes to the money that's being spent on the bocce courts, I think our streets need a little more work before the bocce courts. The drains by my house, they're all falling apart. The concrete's all falling apart. Let's work on the streets. Let's get them done. Let's them, you know, you get nice looking streets, you'll have a nice looking park. When it comes to these speed bumps, they're a waste of money. I'm sorry, but they are. And for people to come out and say that you're speeding, I wish I had all these people in my squad car when I was a cop, because I would have never had to use my radar detector. They're like they're professionals on speed. They're not. Thank you.
Karen Foote, 214 Holiday Park. I have a question for the board. I was back up in New York 2 weeks ago for a funeral. I listened to Zoom, and I don't have any clue why we still do Zoom. You can't hear anything on Zoom. I asked the board, please look at Zoom. Tell me what the average people, I get 35, that listen to Zoom out of 700 homes. So I don't know why we're even wasting time doing the Zoom meetings. Thank you.
Can I speak on that, please?
Yes, Carol.
Zoom meetings and sound issues were something that was Zoom meetings and sound issues. Oh, I'm sorry. The Zoom meetings and the sound issues were something that was brought up at our last meeting. It was voted on by the board to continue the Zoom meetings, and I was actually the one that made that motion. I prefer the open meetings the way we have them, but there are a lot of people that are still too afraid to come out, and I can understand that. The thing that was brought up was about the sound. The biggest problem is that we cannot hear. We have a difficult time hearing in this room sometimes. I don't know if you guys see me straining sometimes when some of you are speaking. If we're going to continue holding the Zoom meetings, then we need to have our sound system looked at. And that was something that was brought up at our last meeting, that we should consider having a sound technician do. That kind of got swept under the table during all the kerfuffle that happened, and it didn't get addressed properly. So if we're going to continue with the Zoom meetings as we voted to do, then I would like to make a motion right now that we have a sound technician come in and look at our sound system, show us how to properly hook everything up, including the Zoom, so that we can hear everything that is going on. That can be done, and it can be done for less than probably $500. So I would like to move that we have a technician come in and look at it, not to exceed a $500 limit, and then see what we can do to make our meetings more efficient for everyone.
I second that motion.
Yeah, I talked with somebody this morning from New Hampshire, and she told me that when she got on the Zooms, so that she can't even understand us because of us wearing our masks. So she's asking everybody to please put their mask down when they're talking, Carol. Yeah, I know. That's one of them.
They can hear me just fine, right?
Well,
I have someone that I can contact. I've already reached out to three companies. And I, like I said, it was between $125 and $150 for the first hour to have them come look at our system. I would be willing to make that contact. I mean, the motion's made if we decide to do it. I mean, we can do it anyways. We don't even need a motion because it's not that much money. But I do feel the system needs to be improved.
Any other discussion on the motion?
Yay! Thank you! We don't know if you don't like it or you do like it.
Okay.
being made. Oh, maybe not.
Okay, just only because it's really frosting my butt. Was it 2 years ago? Cherie, you were here. We had two companies come in. We paid for them. They went over everything. You know what the problem was?
What?
The ceiling is this. This is wood. That's wood. It's bouncing off here. Years ago, we had shows in here put on by the residents. We had one woman who manually did all of the different microphones that we had. No one ever said they couldn't hear us. What the hell happened? What happened? Nothing changed in here. No, it may be, I don't know. But we did have two companies, and just recently, like last week, I took that folder and shredded it. I had the names of everybody in there.
Okay.
You still have it? See Cherie about it, because they were here.
Any other business?
Yeah, that was the only thing I was going to say. We done. Oh.
Can you come up?
Come up to the
please,
mic.
Please.
You got to come here to the microphone, please.
You got to record you.
Better. One of the things I live, speeding is an issue. Obviously, it's all over the city. Traffic Logix, L-O-G-I-X, is a company. It's one of them, but there's many of them. They issue their speed measurements, four HOAs, at which point you guys are able to govern your own issues. If somebody's speeding, it takes a picture of the vehicle and the speed, date, time, direction, and sends it to a report, at which point you guys are able to monitor your own issues without the need of a police assistance, because as I spoke to that gentleman earlier, there's a lot to go into it for HOAs to have law enforcement come in, because this is all privately owned land. It'd be no different if you had a 50-acre ranch. We couldn't come in and say you couldn't drive your tractor or truck on your land. It is a lot to go through it. So that's maybe a solution for all of you if the speed bumps are an issue.
Jack, we do have a motion on the floor that needs to be addressed.
All right, are we ready for the motion?
To vote?
Yes.
I will restate the motion. I so move that we hire a sound technician company, professional company, to come in and to research our sound system to include the sound system within the facility, as well as the procedure for hooking up the sound system to our Zoom meetings, so that each and every one of us has the opportunity to hear our meetings at a better time. And it's not to exceed $500 in cost.
And I seconded it.
Yeah.
Okay. Keith, did you have something to see to this?
Joanne did already said it. We've done this before. And it's the acoustics, not so much the system.
But we have a motion on the floor that we need to either approve or deny, one or the other.
Okay. Call the motion. All in favor, raise your right hand.
Didn't we start that? We did. We talked about. Do you have an opinion, Bob? Thank you.
happens to be 100% right, okay? I built construction all my life, built auditoriums for schools, colleges, okay? Your problem happens to be the acoustics in this place, okay? You want to do this right. We got to put sidewalks in. We got to do bocce. God forbid, in 2 weeks, I'm giving a thing on the front gate that will cost you money. But this room needs to be a priority, okay? You're not going to fix that because that's hard, that's hard, this is hard, and that's hard. They've come out with what they call convex and concave systems that go all the way around here so that when I speak, it hits this sound barrier this way, it diverts it that way. Hit this one, it goes that way, and it absorbs the sound. That's the first part of what you got to do. You got to get this room sound friendly. But I can tell you what, all that we're talking about right now does not have anything to do with Zoom, okay? That's a totally different issue in however you're using your laptops here, whoever's monitoring it, whatever the situation may be. That's what I think you need to tackle, okay? Not the sound system. It's figuring out somebody that can deal with Zoom, okay, and can get that under control. My wife has a meeting once a month, and there's half a dozen family members. They all can be heard, okay? But you get up here, and all of a sudden, I don't know what it is, whether we're in the same room. Get someone to look into Zoom. I'm not knocking your sound system, but you're not going to improve it with somebody coming in. She's already told you. We've tried that. It takes this whole room being taken care of.
Should we? Woohoo! Good for you.
There you go.
Becky Ernest. I think the sound card or sound whatever it is that Carol is talking about is for Zoom. It needs an input cable and an output cable, but it needs a sound person to tell us where it goes and how to work it. But it is for the Zoom.
The people I contacted, Diane Bell has done a lot of research on this. She talked about it before. She's contacted me. She's contacted the office. She's been in here. We were in here working. And there are ways to set up the what they call the hybrid meeting. It's just finding that right person. I'm wondering if the motion could be amended with our old-timers here who know that we've done this before, to fix the room first, get the acoustic person in here to determine our, because I don't think this is the greatest of sound, even if Zoom wasn't part of this meeting in this room, it's not great. So if we can fix that part, maybe our Zoom part would improve, I don't know. But this room definitely needs acoustic help, for sure. So that may be a different motion.
See, my thought was on the topic, and because the only reason I brought it up is it was part of our last meeting, and we should have addressed it then, and we did not. In order for us to properly discuss it, there must be a motion on the floor. That's parliamentary procedure. I made the motion, brought it for discussion. The motion can either be approved or denied. That's part of parliamentary procedure. I want to hear everybody's thoughts. Now, I've also heard what Karen said. Do we even need to consider continuing to do Zoom if we only have 20 people using it? Those 20 people have the right to hear our meetings. They can't be here in person for whatever reason. They can't come down because of COVID, or they're at home because of a medical issue, whatever. They have the right to hear our meetings. So we need to make our meetings as public as possible for everyone within the park. That's my concern. And if we're going to continue doing the Zoom, then we need to make it where they can hear us and understand us on everything that we do, because what we do concerns them. So that's why I would like to have us look at whatever it takes to make sure that our Zoom meetings are soundly accurate for everyone.
Marcia Shear, 382 Holiday Park.
And I agree, Zoom, everybody should have Zoom. And I think it should be all the time, even after COVID's over, because we're snowbirds and we go home and we would like to hear and see what's going on in a meeting. So, thank you.
So, is there a table on the, is there a vote?
I don't think our Zoom meeting sound was as bad when everybody was on Zoom. Do you agree with that?
I don't think it's ever been good.
It was a lot better last summer because I was in New York. I never had a problem. A couple weeks ago, I wasn't here and had to Zoom. It was awful. And I think it's because we're doing both meetings together, and our system is bouncing off, and that's the issue. Because last summer I had no problem on a Zoom meeting when everybody was at Zoom, except when you had multiple people in the library, and that's just it. You get multiple people together, it causes the problem. That's how I feel.
Is there a motion on the floor?
There is one.
Well, let's continue with that first, huh?
Didn't we? Read the motion that's on the floor.
The motion that's on the floor is to have a sound technician come in, a professional sound technician come in to check our system so that we can properly set up for the Zoom meetings and to approve the sound at for the meetings, regardless, not to exceed the price of $500.
No. So is the focus of the motion is to improve our Zoom or to improve our whole sound system?
To show us how to properly set up our sound system specifically for the Zoom, but to give us ideas on how to improve the rest of it as well.
Okay, are we ready for the question? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
No.
What's the problem? Oh.
7-1. Or I should say 1-7.
Again.
1-7. 1 yes, 7 no's. I think we should address the acoustics in the room. Why, if the thing is, can't we fix things under a certain amount of money without a vote? No, we're not. Pardon me? Well, I guess that's my question. Do we have to have a motion to call somebody and say, can you come in and look at our room and tell us what we need?
Yeah.
Okay. Cherie still has the file, she said. I would like to volunteer to get that file, look at it, contact the people, find out what it's going to cost to have them come out and look at the room, or find out what they said. To fix, if they told us what how it to be fixed, and if they still stand by that, I'll make a motion to get it fixed. Does that take a motion to do that, or can I just look at the file and read the information? Bring it back to the board.
Yes.
Absolutely. Done.
Wait for a motion to adjourn.
No, I have another topic.
Oh.
I'd like to say something also.
Going to be a contention of a sore thumb for a lot of people, but it's something that I've been hearing to the tune of my ears are going crazy because I've heard so much about it. And that's our PET guidelines in our DORs.
I can't hear you.
PET guidelines in our DORs. The first guideline states in our DORs that no home can have more than two pets, pets being, i.e., a dog, a cat, or a rabbit. You can have birds. Birds and fish are, I'm not considering this part of this discussion at this point in time. And that no said animal shall exceed the 25-pound mature breed weight. I did not see where it said anything specific, unless I missed it in my copy, about breeds as the types of dogs. I do know that there are several dogs in the park that exceed the 25-pound limit. I know of a German Shepherd for one, in fact. My question to the park is if we are allowing these large animals in the park, why are they here? If they're being told, or if the park is being told that they are service animals, then we as a park should have a copy of their instructional certificate showing that they are indeed a certified registered service animal with the county. And the animal should wear the certification collar. The other topic that I want to bring out is it says that all animals, dogs, cats, and rabbits, when outside of the home, must be on a leash. That leash should not exist any longer than 6 feet. That's kind of a dumb rule right now because of the new leashes being longer than that. But all animals, dogs, cats, and rabbits. We do have a lot of people in the park, whether they be owners or renters, who allow their animals to run free. Mostly we have a ton of cats that run free. The reason I'm bringing this up, the other topic on our Facebook page recently, animal poop all over the park. I will attest that I see it every morning. It is a serious issue. We do have a lot of owners that, whether they dogs are on a leash or not, allow their animals to defecate wherever they choose to defecate and leave it. I happen to have a very small puppy who is learning to walk on her leash. And what does she do? She finds it, she rolls in it, and she eats it.
Oh, man.
She's a six-month puppy. She doesn't know any better. But it's kind of disturbing to see that we have so many people complaining about it, but nobody doing anything about it. I know that we have a thing in our documents that says that we have the right to fine you if we see you commit the crime for $25. However, the board can't do anything about it if we don't see it. And all we hear is complain, complain, complain. Write up a description, take it to the board. Complain, complain, complain. I want to know what you want us to do. How should we take care of this issue? We as owners, every single person in this park is responsible. If we're going to have a pet, we need to take care of our pets. That's the right thing to do as adults. If we're not going to take care of our pets, do we have a legal right to do something about it, such as the big animals? Can they be physically removed, such as the animals that poop and run wild all the time? Can they be removed from the park? Cherie, I'm asking you to give me feedback on how that can be handled, or if it can be handled. And then I'm asking you as residents, how would you like us as a board to address this issue? Thank you.
Diane Russo, 1158 Central Lane, where I lived in New York. What they did, it was a rental and a condo community. They had every single dog DNA. And if poop was turned in and they knew whose dog it was, they were fined $500. And they had 2 weeks when the management paid to have, you know, have all the dogs done for free. The owners paid, management paid. And after the 2 weeks are up, if you didn't bring your dog, then you had to pay it. But there was a $500 fine once they sent the DNA in.
Marcia Shear, 382 Holiday Park. I don't know about the poop. Okay, I've found some in my yard before too, but I don't know how to stop that. But can't we, as through the checkout point, I don't care if it's a service dog, a comfort dog, or whatever, it's not allowed if it's 25 pounds or more.
Why? Okay, but it's one of our rules, so why can't we say?
Cannot discriminate against the size of a dog as long as it is a legal service animal, but the service animal must be registered with the county as such and is required to wear the vest. So I'm just wondering if we have service animals in the park and if they are registered that way.
Okay. Cherie, do you have some comment, please?
I do. I would like to address the board and I'd like to address the residents. I have a lot of information that I feel I can share. A lot of times throughout this meeting, I could have answered questions, especially about the acoustics. Joanne and I worked hard on that. We met with companies. Other situations, Americans with Disabilities Act, so far as the animals are concerned. I'm reprimanded if I speak. I'm reprimanded if I don't. I want the board to come up with some ideas or to guide me so that I'm not being disrespected for talking out of line and for helping this park in doing my job. And it's not fair to me when I have pertinent information that I can share with you that I have researched since I've been here and to share good positive things instead of constantly being torn to shreds. And I'm not supposed to even be sitting at this table? What am I here for?
May I speak to that?
I'm serious. Excuse me? I've been told that I'm not supposed to speak. I'm not supposed to do this. Granted, it's probably the room, the people with the out there in the park. But even in these nasty letters, you know, I'm here, you hired me to do a job. Let me do my job. And if you have some guidelines as a board of trustees that you want me to follow, I will follow them to the T. But I need to know.
My opinion is you're sitting up here at the table. Your name is on this list as joining us at the meeting. We expect to look to you for everything we say, whether we're giving a directive or asking a question. I expect you to be involved at every step of the way. And whoever is putting this crap out on Facebook or in this comment section that I've read before, griping about you talking, doesn't have a clue as to how this work is going to get done. You are the one who is supposed to be carrying it out. You are the one in charge of getting the work done.
I can share some information about the sidewalks. I can share information about the acoustics. Several other topics. I did not speak. I want to be able to. I've researched this. I'm capable. And I need more direction and support from this board.
Then we would
Speak up.
Yeah, I would very much like for you to bring it forward to us and speak to us on behalf of the sidewalks and on behalf of the acoustics, because those are things that I remember you once saying that you were going to work on a grant for the sidewalks.
Yes, and we have, and we've applied, and we've been turned down. You know, folks don't know this, and I want to be able to share this, but I get shot down. And I don't think it's right. It's disrespectful. You know, if I was full of hot air, it would be another story.
Well, no, I look forward to your responses. I think that you've done a wonderful job on those and to keep us filled up. My question to you was, again, to let us know, do we have dogs in the park currently that are service animals?
We have a lot. That's the problem. We have Americans with Disabilities Act just waiting. They have people that they send out to different communities specifically to see if they're in violation. if we're discriminating against.
Yeah.
They have law firms that hire people just for that purpose. It's happened to me. I was set up. I didn't get caught in the trap, in the sting, but yes. And we have to adhere to it. Now, if somebody comes in with a bull mastiff, yes, you can have the bull mastiff. You cannot have a lead outside of your house. You cannot have a kennel. And that's where we get them. We can't accommodate the animal, but you can have the animal stay with you. And 9 out of 10, they can't, because we will not allow them those accommodations for the pet.
So can we require someone to mention that if it's a certified, whatever you call those animals, service dog, that they're supposed to be wearing a vest to identify them?
Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% positive, because there's different types of service animals.
Okay.
There's service animals that can detect for diabetes, for epilepsy. That's what I was looking for.
But those animals are trained specifically for that purpose,
yes.
And so they should have the vet,
yes.
Because anytime a dog is trained, they have that certification.
Yes,
so they
we're kind of getting
vet.
Off of what I was really trying to bring out and point out to the board.
Well,
but I'll be happy to submit any kind of report or anything you might need.
Thank you.
I would say if the board needs to say something, I think I'm working on the assumption that if we didn't want you to say something, we would. If we want Cherie to say something, I acknowledge her. I invite her in for comments. I don't know. I'm at a loss as to what she's looking for right now in terms of permission. I didn't tell her she couldn't sit at the table, only that I shared somebody's nasty letter that said she shouldn't be sitting at the table, she shouldn't be handing me a note, she shouldn't be doing this, she shouldn't be doing that. But I haven't said anything to her.
It's not one particular person, Jack. It's the disrespect, and I want to be able to share with the residents and the trustees and not feel like I'm overstepping my bounds by sitting here and speaking and being criticized. When I say something, I'm going to tell you if I don't have the answer, but I will find it. I'm not going to lie or BS anybody. And that's basically what I'm saying. And that's it. I just wanted to speak my mind.
Keith? I'm just going to say, as far as I'm concerned, you're as much a member of this board because you have ideas. And as I look at this, you are the, the CEO, and we're the board. You have to give us direction because you're in the end the responsibility. So, yes, says, please express anything you wish about this.
Okay.
And I don't see anybody on the board that's disagreeing with me to express your opinion at any time.
Thank you. I just need a clarification.
I go out in the field sometimes with Cherie, and I'll tell you, she has taught me a lot out there.
Get closer to the mic.
Enough.
I'm not.
They can't hear you.
It's on. I go out in the field with Cherie every once in a while to check out different parts, and I always come back, and sometimes when I go out for rides, I'll come back and give her a list of stuff, of people's violations that I've seen. She's a hard worker. You know, what she does when I give her my list, she takes care of the stuff, and we go out. We had to go out the other day and do a couple of jobs that were out there. I love going out with her because I'm getting educated, and she does make sure that everything gets done.
Thank you, Beth. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
I'd like to make the motion that we adjourn, please.
I second.
Moved and second that we adjourn. So moved. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
think